Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back for part two of our interview with Miss Chelsea Kosht. And I say Miss, it's, is it Mrs.? Did I say it right?
It's Miss Mrs. Chelsea Kosht.
Mrs. Chelsea Kosht, who is very proud of her status as a married lady and with Medtronic Corporation. And just to recap what we heard in the first, I'm not going to go through a litany, but she is extremely knowledgeable about the products. She came into it through a personal interest, and which I think is one of the more fascinating things, because I found out the same was true with the actual sales rep, which Chelsea is not. But when I talked to him, he has essential tremor, and it's very minor compared to mine at this point, but, and it's apparently well controlled with medications, but it is something that can happen. So, anyway, Chelsea, welcome back. And, we're going to continue with part two. I'm hoping to learn a little bit about the depth. You have a marketing background, believe it or not. I was a marketing teacher. And
perfect.
So we kind of speak the same language, although you're probably several orders of magnitude higher than me on the food chain. But let's talk a little bit about Medtronic as a company, with the breadth of products, the depth, and that type of thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I, like I said, I will do my best, because I'm just part of deep brain simulation, and Medtronic is giant. Truthfully, there is a lot of different divisions throughout Medtronic. To give you, I guess, I think, and I don't know if this number is still accurate, but there's 90,000 employees at Medtronic. So yes, it's a very large global company. So we're across the globe. Obviously, I'm in the U.S. I know it got started in 1949. And the first device actually that they put out was a pacemaker. So that's kind of what, what we're known for. And there's, again, there's a lot of different divisions across Medtronic. I'm under neuromodulation that I kind of touched on part one. And in neuromodulation, even there's spinal cord stimulation. Then there's InterStim, so that's for bladder control. And then DBS, which is deep brain stimulation, which again, I kind of spoke about that earlier, but treatment for Parkinson's, essential tremor, epilepsy, HCE indicated for dystonia and OCD. So those two last ones aren't as common, so we don't talk about them as much. But there are, obviously, there's like a med surge area. There's a diabetic division as well. So there are multiple different jobs throughout Medtronic. So if you enter into a hospital, I am sure that you will see Medtronic somewhere, or someone who works for Medtronic probably. And more than likely, we don't know each other. So I will say, usually in our little divisions, we are a little siloed and concentrated on what you do. And I think that can kind of be something, pros and cons, right? So sometimes you can learn from other divisions what they do well. And then I think the nice thing is, for me, it's especially in my role, because DBS and who we can help, that division's actually smaller than how many chronic pain patients there are, or how many patients who have bladder issues, how many patients InterStim can help. But with that being said, I think DBS is what I like to call kind of the heartthrob role, that everyone who's in it, my team, like who I cover, again, as a therapy awareness consultant, again, my focus really is on field marketing. So education to patients, education with the community healthcare providers, is that clinical representatives I work with, the tenure on our team in the Great Lakes is like 15 years. So yeah, the people who are in DBS, who do DBS, stick around because it truly makes a difference in patients' lives. And I think something a lot of people don't realize is usually DBS is the first surgery in the morning. So these reps are up at probably 6 a.m., right? They're in the hospital by 6:30. Sometimes, for example, I know I cover Chicago, and I've got they might be waking up at 3:30 a.m. to drive an hour and a half, 2 hours to cover something. And I think it gives you just perspective that they're doing it because we know that this product makes a difference in patients' lives. And it's not necessarily always an easy job. It's a lot of driving. It's a lot of, hey, I just put 4,000 miles on my car, or hey, there could be an instance where it's just a long day, or it's a hard day, or you're covering a conference on a Saturday when you just put in 80 hours the week before. So I say this with the fact that like the people who do this are doing it because they're somehow tied to DBS, and it's really hard for them to leave. Because you almost get tied in with those patients who you've spoke with that you've made an impact, or their family members. And you can kind of see over time if you get a replacement surgery, what happens. And I can talk about what the procedure looks like as well. But I hope that gives just a little bit of background of how, like why I think DBS is a really cool role. And I know I kind of spun out of Medtronic history because I know more about DBS than I do about Medtronic as a whole. I just,
Oh, I think, you know,
again,
I
we're
think
huge.
you've given the listener or the viewer some perspective because I'd never heard of Medtronic. And all of a sudden I've got this rather expensive little thing sitting in my chest. And I learned, you know, I wish I'd known enough to do my homework before surgery, but I didn't. And that's kind of what gave me the idea for the podcast was, you know, it's about time we get the word out. But this is great. You have been absolutely wonderful. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I think something you brought up a good point, and I think that's really why I have a job today, or what I'm trying to do is just spread the word about treatment options for patients, especially even since we're talking about essential tremor, getting the word out about treatment options for essential tremor patients and that DBS is an option for those patients. And it's something that you shouldn't be scared of. The number one thing patients say is, "Hey, I don't know if I want to do this surgery. I'm nervous to have brain surgery." And I always tell patients, think of it as a treatment option. And 95% of our patients who move forward with this procedure recommend it to a family member or friend. And I mean, that doesn't mean that there could be risk or complications. That any surgery that could happen. But I always tell patients, you got to think about the what if is there's two sides of a what if. It's what if I don't do this? What's that going to happen? Are you going to continue to live with it? What does your life look like if you don't do something about it? Are you going to put yourself out to find, even if DBS isn't the option, what are you exploring or talking with patients who have it? Are you looking for answers from doctors? But then the second question is, what if you do the research, right? And what if you do decide to move forward with DBS? What could that give you back? Could it give you back a quality of life that you didn't have before? Could it, I mean, it's as simple as giving you back little things. I know I've interviewed a lot of different patients, and it's honestly getting back tiny things that patients regret or don't think about. Like enjoying a cup of coffee, a woman putting on mascara, being able to put your necklace on, getting back and playing tennis or pickleball now, I know is all the rage. Which, as an FYI, I know there's a lot of different pickleball and essential tremor, I think fundraising starting to happen. So more on that. Yes, very. Very curious. Would love to somehow get a part of that in the Midwest happening, but I mean, I think that's the part that we're trying to do with DBS. That we're not curing, unfortunately, something, but we're trying to give you back something that many people take for granted if they don't have, if they're not suffering with some of these, if they're not suffering with a central tremor of Parkinson's, that you not might not realize it. Something, again, I talked with an ET support group up in Cleveland the other day, and a patient came and she said, was at a senior center, and she goes, I didn't even know what DBS was. And she's like, this is something I think could change my life. She said, I went off the meds because I was so tired, so tired. And she said, I didn't know what was happening. And she goes, I work at my husband's office, and he's a lawyer, and I write all the thank you letters. I write everything all the time. And she goes, I can't write anymore. And she's like, it's so frustrating because you don't think you would take for granted not being able to do that. And she's like, this is something I want to learn more about because it can help me get back to being able to do just the simple thing of continuing to work with her husband and write these thank you letters. And I think that's the piece that keeps people working in DBS. It's because we see what it can do, and that's the
Well,
best part of my job is truthfully talking with patients.
it's so funny that you say that, because if I were asked to make a top 10 list of things that I've gotten back, one of them would be the ability to write. I had, maybe one day in every 2 or 3 weeks, I'd be able to print okay. Now, and I just noticed I could. And it's taken some practice, because it's a skill that you start to lose if you're not using it. I'm able to write much smaller than I was before, and I can write little notes in the margins and things like this. It's a silly little thing, but boy, it means so much when you can't do it. The day that they turned my appliance on, the rep, and I can never remember his name,
Bill.
Phil was in the room. Phil, by the way, Phil was in the room when I was operated on. Phil was in the room when they turned it on, which I think is so cool. I'm very appreciative. But he was just kind of watching Dr. Amstel work, and so we're doing the Archimedes spiral, and then they'd always have me write my name. Well, the first few settings, I'm whipping off a signature. And all of a sudden, Dr. Amstel got it right, and things, I could just feel the difference. Now I was able to whip off a signature, but slowly. And Phil picked up on that. He said she found the right sweet spot. And yeah, it was true. I was able to write, instead of trying to get the signature down between jumps, now I was able to just leisurely sign my name. And it just means so much. And you're right, the coffee. I used to take half a cup into my wife. Half the time I would spill it. She never complained, because she knew how it was just killing me, what was going on. But okay, enough of this mutual admiration society.
But
Ladies and
yeah, I
gentlemen.
mean, but that's again, no, I think that's again, you're kind of answering though why a lot of us are tied to DBS and why we stay with it. I know my time has been not as long as a lot of my team members because the role that I'm in is relatively new. And I think, again, the reason behind it is that there aren't enough patients who might not know about DBS as an option, and it's been around for a long time. So they should know that this is an option, and we should be able to ease their anxiety around what it looks like, what the surgery looks like. Also, I know at Medtronic, we have a patient ambassador program. So, like, you can connect with other patients who've gone through DBS, ask them questions, and sometimes that's the most helpful to be like, what's the surgery look like? How was your experience? What did it help with? Maybe what it didn't help with. And then also, I mean, I try to connect even with a patient directly, talk with a lot of patients. If they have a question with somebody local in the area, I'll connect them with somebody like their clinical rep who's in the surgery with them. So you'll see that clinical rep before the surgery, during the surgery, after the surgery. And they're a great resource because they're with these doctors when they're doing these surgeries in and out every day. And they're going to know a lot of questions and answers for you. And they're there as a resource. And I can confidently say I've never felt like a anybody I work with, and even who would have a question or ask, that they're going to be honest if they think DBS might help, or maybe again, if it doesn't. Obviously, that's a decision between your doctor and you to make it, but it's also up to you as the patient to make the educational choice that you do have the option to speak up and say, I think I want to try this. And you can influence that decision to make that choice. Sometimes you just have to ask the question, because I think that's the number one thing I've learned with patients is you've got 15 minutes with that movement disorder specialist, and it took you 6 months to maybe get in.
Right.
You have got to be an advocate for yourself. So
Absolutely.
if, and even again, it's talking about what you want to try, but also, hey, with again, if you're experiencing, why am I so tired? Like, what is happening? Talk about those side effects that maybe might be happening from the medication. Bring those up, write those questions down, or tell your caregiver or your partner who's going in, if they're going to speak up, to be like, hey, make sure I mention this. And be prepared when you have that like that appointment to ask. And then maybe ask, hey, could I try this treatment option? Or do you think DBS might be an option for me? Because you again, you can be the person who influences the option that you want to try, but you've got to be the person to speak up. And I know sometimes that can be hard for some patients to kind of ask and be their own advocate.
Well, I hear people occasionally disparage the medical community in the United States. And the fact is that we have more medicine, and I mean treatment options. This woman that I spoke about from Australia, Shaky Nan, she's I asked her flat out, was DBS an option? Well, you could put into the medical or the whatever they call their socialized medicine down there. But the fact is, in the United States, you have many more options. You have a say so in your care, which you don't have all over the earth. Which leads to my question: do you happen to know how many programs there are that do DBS surgery in the United States? Is that a quantifiable number?
So I know I actually just looked, and I just don't 100% quote me, but DBS is in all 50 states in the US, and I believe there's 560 in DBS implanting centers in the US.
Wow.
So it is something that is in every single state, and something interesting enough, it's in any state you can get programmed. You can find somebody who can program that system. So I think that it's not something new. It's widely available. And in the US, you do have access to it. I do know we're in a lot of different countries as well. However, how insurance works, I'm not as well versed
Right.
with that. And that's a great question, I guess, with DBS, or who is a candidate for DBS if you have a central tremor? And that's, again, it's going to be a patient. If you're considering ET as something that is considered disabling to you, you could be a candidate for DBS. So it's relatively simple, but what defines that disability for you? That's something you and your doctor kind of decide. And if it is, then more than likely it's going to be covered by insurance. What happens is it will go through like a prior authorization process. But
Right.
I always tell patient, if they've come to the point and you guys both have decided that DBS, don't worry that you're going to get this huge bill that it's not covered. It's something that if you've probably tried some different medications, they're not giving you the results you want, Then that's when DBS might be an option.
That's a conversation I had with my wife because I tried to get a handle on the cost before the surgery and nobody could really give me an answer. Well, now I know why. They didn't really know how much it would be. And you never want to quote, but they did. And so my wife said, "Wait a minute, you're going to continue on with this and we don't know what it's going to cost." I said, "Well, first of all, with my insurance, my max out of pocket is $6,000. So let's just say it's going to cost $6,000 and be done with it." And I said, "Let me ask you a question. If it had been $40,000 out of pocket, would you have said no?" In other words, it wasn't the money. After a while, when you've committed to it, you realize, "No, I'm doing this." And it's, God, I'm glad I did. One thing I will say that I meant to bring up earlier was Dr. Hoyt was very careful in tempering, curbing my enthusiasm. He said, "Well, what if it's only 60% effective?" Well, with what I know now, I would have said, "Yeah, not everybody's going to be in the, 90 to 95 as I am. Some people are going to be around 80. Some people are going to be around 70. But even so, the change in my life has been enormous. And I would have taken 60. I really would have." So, for anybody who's, contemplating this, I realize this episode has been all about DBS surgery, but we've got the source right here.
Yeah, we can talk about outside of DBS. I feel like that was just my, I guess my sweet spot, I should say.
No. I think we took the proper approach. I think, did you have any final thoughts you wanted to add?
No, I mean, I think for us, if you do have questions about DBS or Medtronic, go to discoverdbs.com/et. And that's some resources about Medtronic DBS. I know we also do webinars as well. So if you ever are looking to hop and listen in, I know I'm doing a webinar next week actually with you, Steve. I do local webinars, but we also have our corporate marketing team puts on national webinars as well. Anybody can join. Others are welcome to join my local webinars, but sometimes I think it's nice to hear from a local physician in your area. So that's more of what my focus is. If you want a broad overview, definitely go to discoverdbs.com/et.
One of the nice things is Dr. Hoyt going to be on the webinar next week?
Yes.
Okay, along with Dr. Amstel. If you want to see what a neurosurgeon looks like, you know how they say it ain't brain surgery. Well, it is brain surgery, but he is so good. My wife, the first time she met him, said, "Oh yeah, he could cut my head open." He's just that inspiring. And I think it takes a very special individual to not only have the skill level to do that, but have the demeanor to put every allay everybody's fears and this type of thing. So all in all, I'm really pleased with what I did. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much to Chelsea for joining us. And you heard there's some interesting things on the horizon. I'm really excited about this, what did you call it? The
Of brain sense technology.
brain sense technology, where it's actually kind of logging what's going on, and then your neurologist can go in there and see, oh, well, there's a potential problem here or there. Does that explain it?
We can manage, we can see what's happening in and out of the clinic. So we can actually, we're using sensing to read your brain signals and then come back and say, how can we customize this program for that patient? So it's really neat. And I think the other only really last plug for Medtronic DBS, I would say, is we're the only system that you can get a 3T MRI with keeping the system on. So that's really important because, again, 7 out of 10 patients who get implanted with DBS need an MRI. And we're the only system that you can get a 3T and keep it on. under certain circumstances, of course. But the nice thing is, again, you'll be connected with your Medtronic clinical rep as well, so they'll make you feel comfortable through the process as well.
Yeah, I meant to bring it because I was going to show it to the audience, but basically I've been tapping here where the appliance is, but it is controlled. I have some control over it, and it's a Samsung specially programmed Samsung phone, and then there is a little device that connects the Samsung phone to the device, the implant. And I can see exactly what's going on. I can see how the battery life is and so on and so forth. So it's rather sophisticated, better than the old ones where they had lead acid batteries. And I'm just joking.
Yeah, no, the every it's titanium, you're safe.
Change
You
the
definitely,
old D cell.
yes, we're every don't worry. The technology tested, FDA approved, been around a long time. But honestly, I appreciate the time, Steve, and for giving me a chance to talk about what I do. And yeah, if anyone has questions, feel free to loop me back in or like I said, even if you maybe want to get connected with an engineer, maybe that would be helpful.
It would be fun at some point in the future. And guys, if you want to see something like that, you know where the comments go. So please subscribe and comment heavily. I need your input. So I'm going to say thank you. Chelsea, if you'd stick around for a minute.
Yeah,
Thank you.
absolutely.
Thank you very much, Chelsea, for being with us. And thank you, the audience, for making this possible. We'll be back. Who knows? So anyway.